Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That's all right. And now if you'll say amen that loud, I'll make sure you get out of here before 3 o'clock. It is an humbling experience to be here this morning, to reflect that 20-some-odd years ago, Emmanuel Baptist Church was reaching across the racial lines, enabling Good News Baptist Church to become part of the Piedmont Baptist Association. I remember those days of members of this church coming down on McConnell Road and sweating and laboring with us to build that building. I never will forget one of the members here who may not be worshiping here now, by the name of Winford Gallimore, who came and spent untold hours and refused to accept anything. And finally, we forced him to accept the gift. When I received the email from your pastor, I thought it was an email concerning the class that's going to begin in September. And as I opened it up and began to read it, I stared at the wonder. To have an instructor to invite a student to come and share was an humble experience for me. For the people of Water of Life who have come to be with us, for a friend and member of Good News, to your pastor, to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, I thank you. I'm sure I'm not corrupt for being in class. I might not want to go back to class after this sermon. But all of the students in the class would have to acknowledge that Pastor Reeves has a huge streak of mercy. Is that right, Tracy? Otherwise, we would be still taking that first course. Why am I standing before you today? Simply to proclaim the Word of God. When I looked at the program, I felt a measure of comfort, for your program spoke to the exaltation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who am I? Very simply, a new creation. Old things have passed. I am an ambassador for Christ. And in this rotten and corrupt and decaying world of raging heathens, it is my desire through the Word of God this morning to challenge us to have a new passion. So I hear the brother say, go out into the world and proclaim Christ. If you would turn your Bibles to Psalms 2. Now that in your program is not my fault, that's Russ's fault. No, I did tell him that's where I thought we would be speaking from this morning, but it was Thursday, and I wrestled and toured and whatever words they are, and I found myself preparing another sermon. And so I shared with Russ this morning. He says, "I understand." So hopefully what God has laid on my heart this morning, you will receive it and you will be encouraged. Open your Bibles to Psalms 2, and if you have the Bible here in the pews, you can turn to page 393. I'm going to be nice this morning and read from your pastor's favorite version, but I'm not going to use it when I preach. So turn to, if you will, page 393 in that pew Bible. And if you would, and if you are able, stand for the reading of God's word. And if you do not, I will just consider you a rebel. So those who are able to stand, please stand. The reading of God's word. Why are the nations in an uproar? The King James Version says, "Why do the heathens rage? The people devise in vain things. The kings of the earth take their stand. And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens, that is God, laughs at them. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. But as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decrees of the Lord. He said to me, 'Thou art my son. Today I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations of thine inheritance, and the very ends of the earth thy possession. Thou shalt break them with rods of iron. Thou shalt shatter them like earthware. Now, therefore, O king, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, lest he become angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him." You may be seated. Bow your heads for a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this humble opportunity to come before your people, those that are saved, and it could be some that are not saved, to proclaim your eternal truths. I'm nothing but a vessel of clay. Speak through these lips of mine. Help me to speak clarity, and help me to speak under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, that the hearer will receive and respond and obey and be a better ambassador for you. And those that do not know you will accept you as their Lord and Savior. And the people of God said, amen. And I want to share as a subject God's nominee, Jesus Christ. God's nominee, Jesus Christ. The Psalms, there are over 150 of them, and some are short, and some are medium, and Psalms 119 is the longest one, and it's a treaty, I would say, or a thesis on the sufficiency of God's word. The date, the exact date of Psalms 2, there are some differences about the exact date. It may not be known. Some even say that David perhaps is not the author. But that's not the most important thing this morning, I believe, to us. We will leave that debate to the Bible students in Bible class. But what is important, that I believe that we all can agree, that God is the divine author of all of his word. And so we can agree with that. And I believe that we can agree that all of God's word can in some respects, be instructive to us today. In this second psalm, those that are Bible students will read it and understand that it is divided in four divisions or four standards. The second psalm, the text for our message this morning, in verses 2, chapter 2, verse 1 and 3 is a division, and 4 and 7 is division, 7 and 9 is division, 10 and 12 is division. Now, with that out of the way, because of my instructor, don't look for any more of what you've taught. I'm just going to preach the way I know how to preach. That was said in love. Psalms 2, 1, and 3. And when I look at that, I see God in his determination looking at the human depravity of mankind. David begins immediately with the question, why are the nations in an uproar? The King James Version says, why do the heathens rage? Why are the people devising a vain thing? Why are the kings of the earth taking their stand and the rulers taking counsel together against the Lord and his anointed one? Why are they saying, let us tear their feathers apart and cast away their cords from us? When we look, we see who is coming together of mankind. Who is in this crowd? Well, when you look at it, there are the many. Here we have a gathering of mankind, the heathens, the nations, the Gentiles, in an uproar, raging like pit bulls and dogs stirred up to fight each other, if you will. The people, the Jews, devising, imagining, if you will, and meditating. What are they meditating on? And what is it? The Word of God said it is a vain thing. They are just exercising their minds for nothing according to God. Who is coming next? Well, we have the gathering of the mighty. It says the kings and the rulers, if you will, the political and religious leaders and rulers of the earth, taking their stand, taking their position, and counseling by appointment, if you will, together. Against whom? Against the Lord, the sovereign God, the anointed one, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Sounds like the world today a little bit. Without warning, in this first division, we are introduced at the elementary planning stages of a revolt to a scene, if you can imagine in your mind, of commotion among rulers and nation, a scene of hustle and haste and agitation and plotting and restlessness. And what are they whispering? Let us, let us, let us. My brothers and sisters, if it doesn't apply to you, we need to encourage our youth today and the world to stay away from that let us crowd. It will get you in trouble. And the tone, the scene has a tone, if you will, in my mind, of political and educated business and religious people, like a mob of gangsters in a conspiracy for power against the ruler. Now, the mystery of all mysteries, if you will, the question of all questions, if you will, that's a penetrating the soul. Why would a finite think that it is able to lift itself against the infinite? Why is it that man thinks that he can wrestle with God? I don't know about you, but ask me any question, but why? And my wife, I years ago, I used to say, just ask me any question, but why? Don't ask me why I didn't do it. Because when you ask somebody why, it demands a reason, it demands an answer. So why do the heathens rage? And as I searched the text, I didn't exactly find the answer to why. But as I was scanning through a book that has illustrations in it, and it talked about the heathen world, and it says this is what a heathen is like and what the heathen world is like. He says, paint a starless sky, hang your picture with night, drape the mountains with long, far-reaching vistas of darkness, and hang the curtains deep along every shore and landscape. Darken all the past. Let the future be draped in deeper, yet deeper night. Fill the awful gloom with hunger and sad-faced men and sorrow-driven women and children. It is the heathen world, the people seen and visioned by the prophet who sit in the regions and shadow of death, to whom no light had come, sitting there still through long, long, long night, waiting and waiting, watching and watching for the morning. That's the heathen there in darkness. So when you ask, why is all of this corruption going on in the world? The people in darkness. Why do they kill and steal and rob? Because according to the word of God, they're in darkness. This massive movement of rulers and kings, the establishment, if you will, banding together against God, against the anointed one. Their given is directed at God, the creator, his rule, his order, and his son. Little do they realize that God and his anointed one are the same. So when you're against God, you're against Jesus. I might say you're against the Holy Spirit also. And when you're against one of God's children, you're against God also. So be careful how you throw stones at God's children. God's dominion is exercised through his own son, Jesus. Rebellion against one is rejection against the other. And you know what? I don't want to sound so dogmatic. I'm not so righteous. I'm not perfect. But I've come to understand that anyone that thinks that they can be against God is just unreasonable, is unanswerable, and I say this real soft, is just stupid. Now, when you look at that scene, there was a corporate spirit of rebellion, and we find that in the world today. In John Phillips, in Exploring the Psalms, he says, the rulers have gathered by appointment. The decision to do away with God is a United Nations resolution put to the vote, passed unanimously without abstention and without veto. The world is firmly united in its desire to get rid of God. Does that sound like today? If it does, let me hear you say amen. Amen. It is a vain thing. Premeditated animosity against God. When you set out and plan something against God, it's just like premeditated murder or premeditated crime. I think about my sin sometimes, and when I realize that I've just done something, I've just done it and knew it wasn't right, I begin to just tremble almost. You all don't ever do that. Y'all are good people. Let me go up. I didn't get no amen for that, so I'm in the boat by myself. But rising up against God is nothing new. Lucifer did it. Nimrod thought he was so smart he was going to build this tower up to God, and God had to come down and destroy it. Even people who didn't like each other in the biblical world, Herod and Pilate got together plotting against Jesus Christ. We move on to verse 4 and 6, where we see God declares his displeasure against the revolt, against his son. And so in a twinkling of an eye from the raging heathen, the scenes of them gathering together, we are transported, if you will, into the throne of God, if you will, into his boardroom. And where we see God viewing the plotting of his creatures, we hear the divine response of his displeasure. The Lord, he laughs at them. At them talking about this, let us. And he holds their madness, if you will, in derision. And it is measured by his scornful laughter. I can imagine God laughing and laughing at them. And what God scorns in his power, he visits with his displeasure. In Psalms 7, verse 11, God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Goes on to say, if he does not turn back, if he does not repent, God will sharpen his sword. This is all in Psalm 7. He has bent his bow and made it ready. He has also prepared for himself a deadly weapons, or instruments of death. He makes his arrow into fiery shafts. The attitude of God and those who are rebelling against him. The Bible speaks of them as just being wicked. In Psalms 9 and 17 says the wicked will be cast into hell. Psalms 145 and 20 says that all the wicked will be destroyed. We move along to the visions, verses 7 and 9. God declares his divine decree, if you will. God sets about to reveal the invisible king of Zion. The king David here is repeating the Lord's article. The Lord declares, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. The idea here is of a special relationship between a king and his son, which was expressed both in Egypt and during the Babylonian and the Assyrian culture. The king was said to have been adopted by his God. That's a small g. Kings were thought to be offsprings of their God, a small g. And similar, it is seen in Samuel, the 7th chapter. You can read it, verse 1 through 17, where God's covenant with David. But there are vain things when God's creation thinks that he can rebel against God. Before we move on to develop verses 10 and 12. And, you know, I could go back and develop all of those, but I don't know if I'd be invited back. So I'm trying to get to the heart of this thing. I'll spend most of my time on 10 and 12. And let me show y'all. When y'all invite... That wasn't you all, Pastor. When he invites a black minister, a Baptist preacher, that he didn't, Russ didn't tell me this, but, you know, don't keep him too long. that doesn't, I got one amen out of that. let me share something with you, see. My white brothers and sisters get blamed for a lot of things. But it's the same thing with us black folk, too. That crowd, this day and time, they don't like to be too long either. And I have a dear wife. She doesn't say anything, but when she looks up, and that look, but sometimes you just got to preach it. But I'm going to hurry along. I'm not bound by that. But before we get to verses 10 and 12, let me take something that Dr. Billy Graham wrote in a book in 1992, Storm Warnings. And I want to share with you what he says. And when you get this, it is a picture of today of the heathens and what they are doing. He says, we live in the most sophisticated and complex period recorded in history. Technology, ideas, and science have literally shaped our world, and a handful of modern nations hold the power to drastically alter our world. There is cause for concern. There are storms on the horizon. There are winds of change. There are storm warnings urging us to pay attention to the crisis in our nation and the world. We are experiencing the results of unrestrained greed, manipulation on Wall Street, financial management in the halls of government, fraud at the highest level of both state and the church. Our economy is experiencing the labor pains of financial meltdown. Now, you thought that word was just for today. Billy Graham said it in 1992. Physical and emotional abuse, broken lives, shattered marriages, floating anxiety and feelings of despair and uncertainty. All of this sandwiched between the moral and spiritual bankruptcy of our society. There is rising debt, expressions of hatred, sexually transmitted disease, AIDS epidemic, collapse of the traditional family unit, escalating drug and alcohol abuse. Each morning we read in the newspaper and watch the headlines on our television, and we ask the question, what is our nation, our world, coming to? The world is in turmoil, my brothers and sisters. We are living in a time of enormous conflict and cultural transformation. There is an ever-increasing hostile attack, listen, against the church. Billy Graham wrote that in 1992. Now, that's an attitude of raging heathens. That's an attitude of the nations in an uproar. And I'm not here to frighten anyone, but when I look into your faces, there are a number of you who have lived long enough, and it's almost unbelievable what you hear and see today. And so you ask, what is this world coming to? And if you are not careful, you will forget about the song that was sung this morning. How great thou art. You will forget about the song that was sung a few minutes ago. Because of Jesus, I can live. If you take your eyes off of God and begin to place them on this world, even as Christians, you might be prone to go commit suicide. If we aren't careful in this world in which we're living now, Christians will begin to do and say some awful things. Don't say you won't step your gun to your side. It may not be because you want to, but fear is a dangerous and mighty thing. When it grips your heart, you don't know what you will do. But if you will do like David in the word of God, when his warriors wanted to kill him, the Bible says that he found courage in the word of God. So as I come by today, out of all that I'm saying to you, I want to encourage your heart in a time in which we live to look to the Word of God. As we try to close in verses 10 and 12, we see God declaring his divine appointment and his rule through his Son, Jesus Christ. And when God speaks, he has something to say. He always has something to say. He does not speak idle words. His speaking is not the collective voice of earthly vessels of clay, men and women deciding who will rule over them. Don't let no world, don't let no government decide who is going to rule over you. If you do, you'll be like the frog in hot water. You'll be forever jumping about. When God speaks, it is the all-powerful, the all-knowing, eternal, present, authoritative, sovereign voice of God, saying that in spite of rebellious rulers and kings, in spite of the raging heathen, in spite of conspiracy against the rule of God, God declares that he has decreed. He said in those verses, I have installed, I have set, I have approved my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. God has set his Son, Jesus Christ, in charge of everything. Now, our president, be they black, be they white, be they Republicans or Democrat, when they nominate somebody, guess what they've got to do? They got to wait for the Senate to approve them. And if they don't like them, bye-bye. But that's not God. God don't have to wait for nobody to approve nothing he does. And so when he sits his Son on the throne, he is there forever. When God decrees, speak, men are wise if they listen. Look over here. Verse 10. Now therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. So in concluding, our attention is called back to the raging heathens, the conspirators, and a still voice speaking a reflective message, if you will. I'm giving you an ultimatum. Before I bring down my wrath on your head, I'm giving you a chance. Be wise. Proverbs says, be not wise in your own eyes. The front part of that says, trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways do what? And what would happen? Listen, not that you do. Let me see if I can share some words of encouragement. It's all right to be concerned about what's going on in the world. See, I'm trying to bring you something today you can take home with you. You know how you go when you go out to eat, y'all gonna go out to eat and you can't eat it all, and you have a carry out box. I want you to carry something with you. So if you don't carry anything today, carry this with you. It's all right to be concerned about the world and what's going on. But don't let that concern control you. And I'm speaking to Christians now because I'm beginning to see it every day in my walk. Being paralyzed. God is still in control. And your worrying is not going to do anything. Now what you can do is pray. If my people... I won't take that one out of context, but it is talking to us. If my people. Now, he says, therefore, king, show discernment. Be wise, but not in your own eyes. Take warning. Be instructed, if you will. O judges of the earth, worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Worship, do homage to the Son, lest he become angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath may be soon kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. And God would have been a just judge if he had destroyed all of those who grumble and complain. Well, let's bring it home. God would have been a just judge if he destroyed all of us who grumble and complain. But you see, in all of this, we see the mercy of God. He has given them a chance to consider the warning and change their counsel. In this world in which we live, the masses do not want the restraints of the standards of God. Mankind is striving and straining to move away from God. They desire today to live together without marriage. They want sin without penalty. They want heaven without salvation. They want things that look like the truth. They want plastic that looks like metal. They want flowers made of silk. They like touching the imitations of life, but they don't want the real thing. Listen what God says, and we will be closing. Proverbs, the 6th chapter, verses 12 through 9. I won't read them all. But it gets down to that part, says, these 6 things the Lord hates. Yes, 7 are abomination to him. A proud look. Anyone against God has a proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood, heart that devise wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, false witness who speak lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Now, all of that is the attitude of a heathen. It's the attitude of people against God. Now, my mother has a saying. She's still living. Now, perhaps nobody in here, but if that shoe fits, my mother used to say, slide it on real easy so it doesn't hurt. See, God's anger is destructive. God doesn't play. So what is all of this? To the church, to you and I, who are ambassadors for Christ, we are called to thunder the warning that is found in 2 Chronicles 5 and 11. It says, know and therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Be concerned, but don't put your head in the sand. Do what you can to encourage the heathens. Those that are not saved. Don't, if you will. Don't take your Bible and start beating them across the head. But you can encourage them to change their ways. Mercy instead of immediate judgment we find here in these last verses. God and his anointed, Jesus Christ, is merciful. Gives us opportunity to repent. I'm reminded, lest you think you will not fall, be careful, you will be like Humpty Dumpty on the wall. The glorious exhortation to the rebellious in a world of rage and heathen, and to us also, worship the sovereign God. Worship the anointed Christ. Exalt Jesus, the one that God has placed on the throne and is and was before the creation in charge of this world. Seek his face and cleave to him. In a world of rage and heathens, today put your trust in Jesus. Take refuge in him. In a world of raging and rebellious heathens, those who trust in Jesus have no need to fear. No need to fear the anger of God. Let's bow our heads. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that I proclaim your word. I pray that if I spoke anything in error, O Holy Spirit, bring it to my attention. Touch some brother or sister's heart and let them come and share with me. For you are not the author of confusion. Bless these, your people. Encourage them in the word of God as they leave this place into a world of raging heathens. It's in Christ's name we do pray. This time I will ask Jimmy and Weezy if they will come, and Pastor Reeves if he will stand. I don't have any way of knowing that all of you are saved. I don't have any way of knowing of all of you who proclaim that you are saved, realize that you are not. But there is an opportunity if you've been led by the Holy Spirit to come now and give your life to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So